In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All 10 are virgins. There are 10 because this is the entire visible church on earth, anyone who confesses to be a Christian. They are virgins because they have kept themselves free from defilement. They have not sought self-gratification, but they have kept themselves pure and holy, without defilement, blameless, and without blemish, at least outwardly. They strive to live according to the 10 commandments. They flee sin and pursue godliness. They serve on church councils. They help out with potlucks, and they gather together to hear the word of God. Outwardly, they are dressed with Christian virtues. They live a Christian and godly life. And so we're not just simply talking about us Lutherans, but we are talking about the Methodists and the Baptists and the non-denominationals and the Roman Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox. Anyone who confesses to be Christian and lives a Christian life is part of these virgins. Or to say it this way, this parable is not about those who claim to be spiritual but just aren't religious. Neither is this parable about those who at one time were Christian but now admittedly are not. They have fallen from their faith. But it's about those who gather in pews week after week to listen to God's word. They are waiting. They are waiting for the bridegroom. The focus is on him. He's the reason for rejoicing. He's the reason they have all gathered together. It's different from our weddings, isn't it? Our weddings are backwards. We focus on the bride. We want to see her. We find joy in her. We want to know what she is wearing, the color of her dress, whether it's champagne or white, her nails, her shoes, and all those other irrelevant things. We find joy in her. But notice she's not even mentioned in this parable. The focus is solely on the bridegroom. It's solely on Christ. He is the only reason that we rejoice. He is the only reason we have gathered together to wait. We are waiting for him. For who else but this bridegroom can bring us into that eternal banquet hall of heaven? Who else can lead us forth between those pearly gates to have endless joy and gladness as we celebrate with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all believers throughout all time and every place? So we are waiting. We are waiting for the bridegroom and him alone. All 10 virgins carry lamps lit with fire, at least in the beginning. It's a gift for him, the bridegroom. The whole Christian church on earth is waiting for Christ, the bridegroom, to come. So the oil is the Holy Spirit, who alone gives faith. He alone can give us patient endurance to wait this long delay. The fire, then, is Christ, for he is the light of the world. And who else but Christ can see us through this bleak darkness of life? Who else but Christ can see us through death? Who else but Christ can make us worthy to attain eternal salvation? It's Christ and Christ alone. Faith that clings to Christ and Christ alone. But 5 are foolish and 5 are wise. So it should not surprise us that the foolish ones did something foolish. They forgot oil. They are acting according to what they are. And neither should it surprise us that the wise did something wise. They brought oil. They too are acting according to what they are. All are waiting, but 5 are foolish and 5 are wise. You are waiting. You are waiting for Christ to return. We are not simply gathered here to look back at what Christ has done for us on the cross, but we are also looking forward. We are looking ahead to that day when Christ will part the heavens and come back. We are waiting for our bridegroom. Our joy and our excitement and our delight is found in him and in him alone. As much as we want to be gathered with our loved ones who have gone before us, 10,000 times more we want to be gathered with Christ. So we are waiting. But are you wise or are you foolish? You are foolish if you think God will simply overlook your sins because you have done many good things in your life and you're really not as bad as those. You are foolish if you think God grades on a curve. You are foolish if you think that God will change and that what was true 2,000 years ago is not necessarily true today. You are foolish if you think that God has a different standard of living for us because we live in the 21st century. We're smarter. We're more progressive. You are foolish if you think such ways. God very clearly says, I, the Lord, do not change. And if he did change, would he get more merciful, more gracious, more loving, more kind, more compassionate? Can he get more gracious than what he already is? He has sent his Son, a free gift. The Son of God has taken away the sins of the world and has opened up heaven to you. A free gift. Can he really get more gracious than that? So sadly, every time we or other Christians change, alter, or ever so slightly tweak God because he's distasteful to us, every time we change God, we make him more like us. Less loving, and more harsh, more judgmental. It's foolish. You are wise if you let God be God. You are wise if you confess that you have sinned. For to do this is to admit that you deserve to go to hell right now, not later on, but right now. But you are wise because you toss yourself onto the mercy and love of God. You are wise if you order your entire life according to this word of God. You are wise if you find your joy and gladness in a baby or in a man dying on a cross. The world finds those things foolish. A baby cannot help you. And a man could not even save himself. How would he save you? But to us who believe, this is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. You are wise if you find this bridegroom, this Christ, coming to you this very day in very foolish things, in word, in water, in bread and wine. So you are wise if you make use of the word and the sacraments. He doesn't fill your jar with oil out there as you ponder the great expanse of outer space. He doesn't fill your jar with oil as you look at the beauty of nature. Certainly God is present there. But he is not present there to prepare you for his great coming. So you are wise if you come to the word and to the sacraments. For you know that without Christ, your meager oil would certainly run out. And then what? But the bridegroom is delayed. We have been waiting for almost 2,000 years, and still he delays. So all fell asleep. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. We know that he is coming, but we have occupied our time with sin, thinking that he won't come today. Tomorrow we can always repent. Tomorrow we can always go to church. Always tomorrow. We followed the Sunday morning routine of word and sacrament simply because it's what we do, without giving it little thought. We've let boredom silence our prayers. We've let apathy and laziness hinder our joyful service to one another. The list of offenses could go on and on. We may look like virgins outwardly, but inwardly we know our drowsy hearts all too well. So repent and be wise. The bridegroom is coming at a time least expected. Hear the distant trumpet song. Step out of your foolish ways, whatever they may be, for Christ is coming soon. Today is the day to prepare. Today is the day to hear his voice. Today is the day to repent of your sins. Not tomorrow, for tomorrow may never come. Today is the day to fill your lamps with oil as you receive his word and his sacraments. The foolish have no light. Their lamps are empty. They lack Christ, the light of the world. And on that day, no one will be converted. No one can wait until they see him coming. No one can finally say, yes, I believe in Christ, when they see him part the clouds. When you see him, it's too late. The last day is too late. Today is the day of salvation. The door will be shut on that day, never to be opened again. It's not Christ's fault that they're shut outside. It's their fault. They acted foolishly by not preparing. They found other things to do, or they simply went through the motions. It's their fault. But for you who are wise, you know that you have nothing on your own. And so you have gathered here to receive oil for your lamps, to eagerly await his coming. You have gathered here so your minds might be redirected back toward what is important and essential, Christ for you. You gather to receive that Christ in word and in sacrament. So you sit and you listen. You eat and you drink. Here is oil for your lamps and food for your soul. Here he wakes you up. Here he encourages you, nourishes you, and sustains you for the long watch ahead. The bridegroom comes today with forgiveness, life, and salvation. He comes to you today with strength for that day. Heaven opens up to you, and the Son of God comes down through those pearly gates to you to gently whisper in your ear, "Hang on, I am coming soon. I have not forgotten you. I have not abandoned you. I have not let you to the whims of this world. I am coming soon. I will keep your lamps filled with oil and your lights burning brightly. I will give you all that you need so that you may someday enter with me into this marriage feast that will have no end. No sorrow, no sadness, no tears, no mourning, no longings. But finally, pure and holy joy forever. I am coming soon." So, dear Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, watch and be alert. Each day speeds his coming, and by his gracious merit, he invites you to come forward yet again to fill your jars with oil in his holy supper. So, this is how we prepare. The word and the sacraments. It's the only way to fend off the cold boredom of a long watch. It's the only way our lamps can burn brightly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.